July 1st. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic, Trey Wingo here with you as we continue to have a day where we have half the 2020 year over, but really, as we begin the second half of 2020, it's a second chance at sports again, for lack of a better term, when we have opening day of spring training for Major League Baseball again, part two. And we have the situation going on in the NBA where today facilities can be open, beginning the process of getting the teams back together before early next week. They head down to the bubble situation in Orlando.
Yes, July 7th through the 9th, the teams will go down in groups to Orlando. And as Trey mentioned, baseball players report today as well. In about 15 minutes, we'll talk to our NBA reporter, Malika Andrews, who is in. She is in the bubble. She's in the bubble for the duration down in Orlando. So we will talk to her about, she got there, I believe, yesterday, you know, how it's going, what she sees as the setup and stuff down there. We'll get to that. But certainly we now, while we were so looking forward to the resumption of sports that we talked about July being a big month for it, I think now we step into July, you know, the next month of this horrific year that we have been having, with, I think, a little more trepidation than optimism, wouldn't you say? We were very optimistic about, boy, July, here we go, we're going to start, even though I know the first team sport was the Women's Soccer League in Utah with the tournament going on, and that started. It seems to have started everything going smoothly there. But in July, everything else that was going to get going, from Major League Baseball to basketball to hockey to the NFL, college football players have already been working out. So it was like, okay, here we go. We're kind of getting ready to ramp up, but boy, it really seems like we're tiptoeing now. We're trying to not step on the next landmine, it seems. And we know what that next landmine is with all these positive tests. Is the next landmine going to be, okay, we're going to shut this thing down again?
Well, you know, I was optimistic about baseball until Buster Olney started talking.
Oh boy, isn't that the truth?
he went 5% we actually start, 0% we actually finish.
But in a real thing of maybe a start and then a bit of a stop is maybe on some college campuses, especially in the areas where the high test rates are. In Arizona, they have shut down workout gyms and bars and such and taken a step back there because of the high number of positive tests. And there are student athletes who are at colleges that came back in June for voluntary workouts. What goes on with them? There was an Arizona player that tweeted out, why are we still here on campus? And they're deciding what to do with them. Do they end up sending all those players home? Do they try and maybe keep them on campus in a bubble? Maybe in the next couple of days we try and get Herm Edwards on at Arizona State, you know, of what they're trying to do and what they're going to have to decide what they're doing with those athletes. So that's something that has started. It started in June with a lot of these athletes. And where is it now? Is it stopping? Are they going to go home? Are they just going to be sequestered for a while? So a lot of questions to be answered.
Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive can save up to $1,500, over $750 on average. So we're glad you're with us there. And then, of course, it is somewhat ironic, somewhat perfect, that baseball is trying to start again on what is officially known as Bobby Bonilla Day.
So, again, for those who may not know, Bobby Bonilla last played in the league in 2001, but he last played for the Mets in 1999. And they owed him a lump sum of $5.9 million. But the Mets had money.
Being the Mets.
Had money in the Bernie Madoff accounts. And I'll say again, for those that may not know about Bernie Madoff, just Google it and you'll see.
Let us put it this way. He's in jail.
And you'll also see why that having the $5.9 million in with Bernie Madoff was really a horrible move. It did not pay off for the Mets. But what it did, they said, hey, listen, Bobby, here's what we want to do. How about this? Starting in 2011, every July 1st, we give you some money, and we do it all the way till 2035. Yeah. And that's what Bobby Bonilla...
With interest.
That's what Bobby Bonilla accepted. So starting in 2011 and going all the way to 2035, Every July 1st, he gets a check for in the area of $1.2
million. I mean, just think about that. It was supposed to be a $5.9 million payout.
Yeah.
And now they've played it out from 2011 to 2035 with 8% interest. He negotiated and negotiated an 8% interest increase. So that 5.9 is basically almost $1.2 million starting in 2011 to 2035. Kids, that's why interest matters.
Oh,
more than
gosh.
Anything else, that's why interest, that's how you make your money
do
grow.
Do the math.
Unbelievable.
Incredible. So, I mean, you want to talk about the Bonilla family smiling every July 1st with that check coming in. So that is truly the start of baseball to some.
It absolutely is. So we'll see what happens going forward. But then there's another discussion going on.
Yeah, boy, there really is.
In Major League Baseball. And it's an interesting one to have. Ian Desmond of the Colorado Rockies, you know, basically said the last couple of days he's not going to go back and play. And one of the things he said very strongly is he believes that baseball is failing minorities, not giving them an opportunity to play or advance up the ladder, as so many people have in baseball in different ways. And then there's this. The Major League Baseball MVPs, some of them, say it's time to pull the name of Kennesaw Mountain Landis off the plaque. It is called the Kennesaw Landis MVP. And Landis, of course, was baseball's first commissioner put in after the Black Sox scandal,
yeah.
Chicago White Sox scandal.
Brought into clean up gambling,
right?
Which he helped do.
Yes.
But however, there was another side.
Yes. He was apparently a documented, his legacy includes documented racism, according to official MLB historian John Thorne. And baseball did not desegregate until Kennesaw Mountain Landis passed away. So they waited until their first commissioner had died before they even broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball. And a lot of former MVPs are asking why his name is on the trophy, including Barry Larkin, the shortstop who won the award for the Reds in 1995, basically saying, why is it on there? I was always aware of his name and what it meant to slowing the color line in Major League Baseball of the racial injustice and inequality that black players had to go through. Added 1991 NL MVP Terry Pendleton of the Atlanta Braves. This is 2020, and things have changed all around the world. It can change for the better, but it's still there, prominently displayed on every American League and NL MVP plaque since 1994. The Kennesaw Mountain Landis Memorial Baseball Award in shiny gold letters, literally twice as big as the names of the winners of the award.
So he was hired 100 years ago. He was hired in 1920 as the first sports commissioner, again, to clean up gambling. And during that time, no blacks played in the majors during his quarter-century tenure. Jackie Robinson, again, broke that color barrier in 1947, 2.5 years after Landis died. So we have seen plenty of change going on this year.
Absolutely. We've seen names come off buildings at Clemson and other places.
In all honesty, how it's been going this year, I don't see this being a long, drawn-out issue, would you?
No, I mean,
this would be pretty cut and dry, wouldn't it?
What would be the win if you wanted to keep it there?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That's the way you have to ask all these things.
So, and, I mean, a lot of this is all documented of what went on, so, I mean, I don't know that this is going to be a long, drawn-out process.
It shouldn't be. Yeah. We know that much. Yeah. I mean, Princeton University finally took President Woodrow Wilson's name off the library after one of his quotes was in the movie Birth of a Nation, which was very pro Ku Klux Klan and other things, and they've taken that name off. So it shouldn't seem like it would take very long for this change to happen as well. Coming up, the NBA campus is up and running, but how long can they keep it going? We are literally going to do something we've never done before on the show. We're going inside the bubble with our reporter who's there. We'll get to it next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. All right, Golic and Wingo here with you. Again, July 1st, a massively important day in terms of team sports in this country as a couple of them are trying to begin the process of getting back to playing. It's opening day part due for spring training in Major League Baseball. And then, of course, it's the beginning of the process of NBA teams getting back together and potentially, eventually, getting to the bubble in Orlando. But there's somebody who is already there.
In the bubble.
Inside the bubble. So this is a show first, ladies and gentlemen, and potentially an ESPN first.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time in the illustrious history of the worldwide leader of sports, we're about to go inside the bubble. And that's where we find our intrepid ESPN NBA reporter, Malika Andrews. Malika, can you confirm you are inside the bubble?
I am technically going, quote unquote, into the bubble tomorrow. So how this works is right now I am in Orlando. I am near feet, okay, well, maybe more like a mile from where the actual bubble campus is, in a hotel where all of the NBA staff that are arriving early to prepare for Orlando, I'm talking about the folks involved in making sure the gym is wired correctly, the public relations folks, some of the league office folks that are overseeing things to make sure the players' arrivals go smoothly. All of those folks, myself and one producer, are in this hotel being quarantined and getting tested every day up until we move into the bubble in that lovely voice that just happened tomorrow.
All right, so just so I'm clear, the hotel you're in today is going to be a different hotel from the one you're in tomorrow?
Correct, because this is a hotel for the quarantine and testing for several days. So I will have been tested and quarantined for 4 days before heading into the bubble, so you say.
I can't think of it. I've been at the company a long time that anybody was going to be in one spot for this long. Do you know, how many days you are going to be there?
Well, when they showed me the paperwork that said check out, potentially it's a mid-October date, my eyes bugged a little bit. I was like, oh, I don't know how to pack for this type of thing.
Yeah, bring a U-Haul is what you do.
Yeah, think of the, hey, exactly. Malika, think of the per diem. Think of the per diem you're getting, though, huh?
You know, that's just a veteran move on your part. That is so smart.
Being an optimist versus me looking at the packing, you look at the optimism side of it.
Glass half full.
Yeah, but Malika, along those lines, let's just talk about the practical implications. We hear so many people saying, how are the players going to keep themselves entertained? How are they going to, you know, coaches are telling us, we're worried about the players mentally. Are they going to stay sharp? What things have you thought about for yourself personally? Because you're going to go through much of the same experiences that the players are.
I mean, save for the actual playing basketball part. Look, I'll walk you through what's happened so far since I've gotten here. So I landed in Orlando, and I was wearing a mask and gloves, and I was safely transported from the Orlando airport to this location. And I checked in. I came up to my room. I wiped every light switch, every outlet, every surface down with Clorox wipes and a bleach solution. Then I took my mask off and I washed my hands. I don't leave this hotel room except to go and get grab-and-go food and to go and get tested. So I leave it about twice a day right now. I always wear a mask and I always wear gloves and keep social distance when I do leave. And the way the testing works is you get in a bus, it's one of the big charter buses, and actually the people who are driving these buses right now are going to be assigned to drive the players' buses when they arrive. So they're already being tested every day, even on their off day. They're asked to come in on their own time, which they'll then be compensated for to come and get tested. And what the test is down here, I don't know if you gentlemen have had it where you are, but what the test is here is it's one swab up one nostril, one swab up the other nostril, and a third swab down your throat. And that happens every single day while you're here. And then in terms of entertainment, we're already 3 days in. My mother's already offering, hey, I was thinking that we could play Scrabble over FaceTime and your sister could be your proxy and make your moves for you. So you can tell her over the phone what to do, and then we can play virtually that way. So entertainment-wise, we're already there, only 3 days in. So we'll see how much of a slippery slope this gets when we're 3 months in.
Along those lines, Malika, Words with Friends app. That's the Scrabble app that you'll be able to do. As Malika Andrews joined us. Oh, that's true. That's true. Our ESPN NBA reporter going through the process now of getting into the bubble.
And just out of curiosity, because you talked about the test, up one nostril, up another nostril, down the doing that every day. For those of us that haven't yet taken a COVID test, I mean, what was that like?
So the first day, it was funny, when we went in yesterday to get our testing done, they only swabbed maybe an inch inside the nose. And I said, oh, yesterday, you know, they really scrubbed your brain. I said, oh, you must have come early. We've changed that process. So it's not painful. I won't say it's comfortable, but it's a really quick and easy process. We walk into this ballroom and there are a bunch of nurses who are in there. You get a little sticker. You bring the sticker to the next station. The next station is a person, a doctor who has gloves and a shield, one of those the clear face shields, a mask, full scrubs, and they do a very quick swab. The whole process, it takes 30 seconds. And from walking out of the hotel to walking back in my hotel, it's been taking about 10 minutes. So I did get it done before I left. So I have had it done outside of the MBA protocol too. It was equally as easy when I was in New York getting it done through my doctor. So I would highly encourage folks to go get tested because it really is not a painful process.
Malika Andrews joining us, our ESPN MBA reporter, again, going through the process, and tomorrow it sounds going to go into the what it will be considered the bubble for the NBA. So along those lines, Malika, people are saying bubble, but they're saying mesh hat because there's going to be workers that are in the bubble and then leave the bubble and come back in the bubble every single day.
Yeah.
What is the protocol for those people as far as testing is concerned?
So I've been paying close attention to that because I've never been diagnosed as a hypochondriac, but I border right on that uncomfortable line. And so from my understanding, from talking to folks around the league, the Disney staff who are coming, quote unquote, in and out, and I've seen a lot of this on Twitter, a lot of this is a mesh hat, this isn't going to work, pointing to that specifically. And the league recognizes they have a lot of hurdles to overcome. But in terms of that specifically, those employees are going to be subject to temperature checks. The league is going to do their best to make sure that the people who are working on, say, this one tower with this one team cleaning these specific rooms, that they are then repeating those same rooms. You're limiting the number of people that have been in and around your personal space because you're not even allowed to go in. A player isn't even allowed to go into another player's room, right? So they're being as diligent as they can. And the other thing that I asked about was just how concerned they are. And the league has told me that they have consulted with doctors who said, look, the primary way that this virus is transmitted is human-to-human contact through breath, through saliva, through that sort of a thing. And so if you, not through surfaces, although that is one way that it could possibly be transmitted. And so what they're saying is, look, we are subjecting those people to temperature checks, to other sort of symptom checks. They won't be in the room at the same time as the players. And for the people who will even be remotely close to the players, like the bus drivers I mentioned, those people are already getting tested. So the league has done its due diligence in research in terms of how close you need to be to someone. They're listening to the doctors in terms of what they think the protocol should be for those Disney employees going in and out, and that's who they're taking their cues from.
So with this in mind, Malika, we had these clips with Dari and Mel on their radio show on Saturday. They had a bunch of people on, Buster Olney, Brian right. Windhorst, giving their predictions, for lack of a better term. And Buster was asked, what's the percentage chance that baseball starts? He said 5. What's the percentage chance they actually crown a World Series champ? He said 0. Brian Windhorst was much more optimistic. Now, this was, again, as we're learning about more and more COVID cases spiking in the state right. of Florida, albeit not as much where you guys are in Orlando, but in other surrounding counties. Brian said 100% chance they start, 90% chance they finish. As you are now wow. sort of immersing yourself in what the protocols are going to have to be, if I said to you those same two questions, percentage they start on time and percentage they finish with an NBA champion, what would you give me?
I would say 98% they start and 60% chance they finish.
60.
And that is, I am a pessimist / realist, maybe somewhere in the zone between those two things. And I think the only reason that I would put it down around, I was going to say 50-50, just because I'll refer to Dr. Anthony Fauci, the only thing that controls the timeline is the virus. And so if they are able to, which I do think, yeah, there are holes in this plan, but they have been as careful as they possibly can to put in putting this together. It consulted as many experts as they felt that they needed to put this together, a 113-page safety protocol. There are still factors they can't control. And those outside factors are what makes me say, you know, I can't guarantee it 100%. And so let's throw out a number. All right, it's going to be 60. Sure, that's the number I'll assign to that feeling.
All right.
No, I honestly, fair. I think that's really fair. And listen, let me just say for all of us who will be relying on your information inside the company and those who will be watching it outside the company, we do honestly appreciate what you're going through to bring us the inside information covering the game. So know it's appreciated, and we will talk to you again when you are officially inside the bubble.
And okay? I know this, by the time you come out, I will not want to play you in Scrabble because your word knowledge will be unbelievable by then. Thanks, Malika.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. She had you on the word thing before.
Oh, she really did.
I want to be honest.
I'm so bummed. So we can't officially say we had the first person in the bubble because she's just outside the bubble, going through all the prep to go inside the bubble.
She's pre-bubble. We were the first with pre-bubble. We're taking that and we're running with it, ladies and gentlemen. Malika Andrews, our intrepid reporter. Coming up next, outside the bubble is where the NFL is going to try and play. Is that a remote possibility? We'll get pastored up from Brother Marcus after the SportsCenter update. I have
all of them there. Two Michigan State quarterbacks and two Auburn quarterbacks.
How about that?
Isn't that something?
Really? That's kind of weird.
Yeah,
if you think about it. So we'll see what happens going forward. Delighted to be joined now on what he thinks about what the Patriots' plans are going forward by Brother Marcus. Marcus Spears, our ESPN football analyst and newest permanent member, by the way, of the NFL Live crew. So, hey. Don't sleep on that part of it, Marcus. I'm just saying, wear that one with pride, my friend.
My guys, what's up, fellas? What's going on?
Not a whole lot, man. We're just, hoping there's an NFL season. So talking and preparing like there is an NFL season. And we actually did get some news, obviously, the other day with Cam Newton signing with the New England Patriots. So I don't know. You can tell us what your before Cam signed with New England, where you thought they were going to finish and how good they were going to be. So start with by telling us what you thought there, and now then tell us where you think they're going to be with Cam Newton.
I thought they had a real opportunity to finish before Cam Newton second. I thought Buffalo would be the team to beat in that division with the moves that they made, especially bringing in Stephon Diggs. And we saw Josh Allen start to get better at the end of the year, and knowing what that defense was, but I was also a little nervous for New England because of the Dolphins and the moves that they made this offseason, signing Byron Jones and bringing in Kyle Van Noy. So it was going to be very hairy for Bill Belichick trying to prove himself, and obviously that's a stupid statement, but based on everything we've talked about with can he do it without Tom, I thought it would be a tougher proposition only having Jerry Stidham and Brian Hoyer to be a signal caller. So the fact that they signed Cam, I probably put them first in that division now.
Marcus Spears with us. And I'm glad that you brought up Miami because I've thought about them a lot, Marcus, this offseason. And people are probably saying, what the hell's wrong with you? But let me explain. I mean, the whole point of last year was to be terrible from the front office, not from the players or the coaches. The whole plan from the front office and the president and the owner, let's stink so we can get Tua Tagovailoa. And basically, Brian Flores and Chris Greer, the GM, and the players said, screw that. We're going to go out there and we're going to go play hard. And they found a way with Ryan Fitzpatrick, a quarterback, to make a really, really interesting showing for themselves and steal home field advantage away from the New England Patriots in that last game of the regular season. It is clear to me that the players in Miami are buying into what Greer and Flores are selling, and it's working. I find them to be one of the more fascinating teams to watch in the entire NFL this year.
You know what, Wings? Every time we have a season, you look for two or three of those teams that could be kind of sleepers. And week in, week out, they not winning games in bunches, but you see them win a big game. You see them play well, and they possibly lose in the fourth quarter to a team. But Miami, to me, is one of those. I'm leery to say bubble teams, but a lot of people are going to have their hands full with them, especially if Tua Tagovailoa starts playing early with this team. You look at last year, man, and the one thing about that team, and I came on last year after we had a conversation on Get Up, and Big MG almost killed me for saying they were tanking. And I had some questions about what they were doing from a football standpoint. But as the season progressed, to your point, Trey, they found some type of groove. And like you said, they bought in to Flores, which I think is the most important thing when you start talking about rebuilding the team. Do the guys believe in their head coach and in the direction that they're trying to go? And it seems that they do. And it seems that they started last year. And now you make some of these moves that you made in the offseason, and you could see little things starting to come together. When you look at this team and how they're kind of constructing it, they want to be big and physical up front. Shaq Lawson and Devon Godchaw, they signed Raekwon Davis, who I think could be a really good football player out of Alabama, and Christian Wilkins is there. So those guys are getting older. And then you bring in that experience with Kyle Van Noy and arguably two of the better corners in the league when you talk about Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. So
two highest paid for sure.
Two
highest paid for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I love to be one of those guys when it comes to that. but you look at it and you look at the way they're building it, and it's very similar to their team that Flores comes from and that has been dominating that division.
Marcus Spears joining us, our college and NFL football analyst. So I'm going to ask you another before and after question, like I did about Cam. A couple of weeks ago, as we were talking football, knowing it was going to start at the end of July, your thought on how it would open and how maybe smoothly it could open at that point. And now where we are now after, you know, a bunch of positive tests and spikes around the country, do you still have that same feeling, or has that been dampened a bit?
It's been dampened a bit. I'm a bit more nervous about it. And look, this is the thing. We always knew that players, teams, support staff, front offices, coaches, we knew coronavirus would show its face in the NFL during the season with players. And I think it's one of those things, man, where we all are flying by the seat of our pants. We want to have these structures in place. We want to say confidently that, you know, it will be an NFL season or a college football season. But it seems like the news is just not getting better at all. I remember earlier when COVID-19 started, the warmer months were supposed to suppress it. And now we're seeing spikes. States are having to close again. So, I'm a bit more tapered in thinking that this season is going to happen on time. I think it's going to happen. I don't know if it'll happen on time, or I don't know if it happens on time and we have to stop during the middle of the season because you just have a massive outbreak with players in the NFL. We seeing it in the NBA. They going into their bubble soon. And you think about it, Fauci said what the NBA was doing was the best plan, the best protocol. So now we're sitting here a couple months away from NFL football season, and there is no bubble for the NFL. What the hell are you going to do with all of those teams? How are you going to quarantine the entire NFL? So we're going to need some really good news here in the next few weeks or months. And obviously that's leaking in the training camp to help me feel more and more supportive and optimistic about the season happening, man. I just keep hearing not good news, fellas. And I don't know how y'all feel about that, but it seems like every time COVID comes up or coronavirus comes up, it's an outbreak. It's nothing successful is going on when it comes to the sports community and players getting this freaking virus, man.
Listen, you're right. As one player texted me yesterday, I think we'll start training camp on time and then we'll get together and all hell will break loose. I mean, that's going to happen.
Wait and see. I was in the league. I was in Dallas one year in my while I was with the Cowboys. We had a staph infection outbreak. And I think three or four guys got it. And it was like swift action. Our head trainer, Jim Mauer and Britt Brown, they did a great job of kind of containing it, man. But I remember all of the protocol that went into making sure other guys didn't get it. And it was like going to a damn lab, man, trying to navigate around the cleaning processes. It put the players that didn't have staff in a different situation. We had to meet in different rooms and kind of contain ourselves within the building so they could get it cleared up. So that would be my example of what it looks like if you're concerned about something breaking out in the locker room, man.
Yeah, we'll see. This is uncharted territory, no question. Marcus, as always, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks,
man.
All right, bud. Y'all take care, man.
I think it's going to be really hard to start, stop, restart.
Yeah.
It seems like, if anything, if it's still going on with the higher cases, just wait.
Yeah.
Push it and start late, because the NFL can't.
Right.
Nobody said, the Super Bowl can be a few weeks later.
They've put things in there. They've been already inquired.
They can
about
do that, yeah.
So we'll see how that going forward. Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests like Marcus join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Coming up next, what will Cam Newton actually be in New England? We'll play either, neither, or both after this.
This is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Either,
ooh,
neither.
There's levels to this, bro.
Or both.
Say it again.
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
This is either, neither, or both with Golic and Wingo.
What it is.
Still don't know when I said that. I don't believe it. I think that was a digital alteration.
You think they just put that in?
Yep, think so. Think it was AI that did that.
You think it was AI? Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Golic and Wingo with you. You guys ready to play a little either, neither,
yep,
or both?
Got it here for you. Either, neither, or both. All right. Again, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yet sometimes we mess it up.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I'm going to book it.
All right. Either, neither, or both will top their career high points in a game during the NBA restart. J.R. Smith, who is now with the Lakers with LeBron, at 45 points. Or LeBron James, 61 points?
I'm going to say neither, and here's why. Because J.R. Smith is getting there, and it's going to take him some time. I don't think he has a 45-point
There's
game.
No way he's getting 45. Yeah. I don't think so, no.
And for LeBron and the Lakers to win, they don't want LeBron scoring 61 points a game. They want to split it evenly, basically, between himself and Anthony Davis. So I'm going to say neither.
I'm going to say either, and I'm going to say LeBron. They have some games before the playoffs start.
Yeah.
Then they have the early rounds. I think in one of those games he may go off.
He might just show up.
On one.
Right.
I don't think at all J.R. Smith will at 45 points.
Nope, no chance.
So I will say either, and I will say LeBron James.
Fine.
All right, here we go. Either, neither, or both. If the Lakers win a championship this year, LeBron will be best remembered as a member of the Lakers or the Heat?
I'm going to say neither again, because I think at the end of the day, LeBron's legacy will be what he did in 2016, bringing that championship back to Cleveland. I think that the majority of his career will have been spent in Cleveland. He'll have his stops in L.A., and he'll have his stops in Miami, and they were very important. It could be very important for Los Angeles. But at its core, LeBron James will be the guy that brought the Cavaliers back to relevancy, left, came back, and won them a championship.
I'm very biased here because I was born and raised in Cleveland, so I'm going to say neither and agree with you that hopefully he'll win a championship in three spots. Kind of a race for it, right, with Kawhi.
Correct.
Kawhi winning one in San Antonio, Toronto, and now trying to do it with the Clippers. But I agree with you. I will remember him as a Cavalier bringing that championship, finally to Cleveland.
The whole thing, the decision.
Being from there,
and how that left,
from there.
All of that to me is going to be, he's going to be a Cav more than anything else.
I would agree. All right, either, neither, or both. Cam Newton, 20 touchdown passes and 6 rushing touchdowns.
Well, it's assuming he starts the season.
Now Cam has thrown over 20 touchdowns many times. 6 times he's done that. And rushing touchdowns over 6, he's done 5 times. So he's done them both multiple times.
Listen, I think...
But he is older and injured.
The Patriots are going to be a run-centric offense. They have been the last couple of years with Tom Brady. I think absolutely I'm going a both here because I think he can get to 20. Almost anybody can get to 20 in this day and age of passing the football. But listen, the quarterback sneak was a big part of Tom Brady when he was the Patriot quarterback. So, yeah, he's going to get those 6 rushing touchdowns.
And some of his 20 may just be little swing passes that are running
Correct.
Backs. But you know what it's put down as?
Touchdown
a passing
pass.
Touchdown.
Yeah, I'm going to go both in a heartbeat.
I am going to go both as well. I definitely think we gave Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones both 20 touchdowns as well. I do think he can hit that mark. And I definitely think because of how he runs quarterback sneaks and what he can do that. Well, Tom Brady was great at quarterback sneaks too, by the
Correct.
Way. That I think he gets their 6 rushing touchdowns. So I say both. All right, either, neither, or both will start a game this year. Cam Newton, Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I'm going to love this. Wait, I'm sorry. I'm going to go both because I think...
You are.
I am for a couple of reasons. One, we saw Drew Brees miss a bunch of games last year, five. He's not younger. He's not bigger, you know, and I think that there may be a situation where he has to take a week off in what could be a very weird season anyway. So, yeah, I can certainly see a way, not denigrating Brees' performance in any way,
but
circumstances to me could easily dictate that Brees might be out a game this year. So, hell yeah, I'm going to say both.
And circumstances have been upped this year,
yeah!
Not just of injury.
Quite a bit.
I was going to very easily say either on this and Cam Newton. But I think since the not knowing has been upped this year with the COVID, thank you, that word is the word I was looking for, I think I will go both and say he may get a game or so in New Orleans for Jameis Winston. So we both go both. Either, neither, or both will play every game for the Jets. Sam Darnold, Jamal Adams.
And a note here, we didn't say 16 games because we don't know how many games they're actually going to
exactly,
play.
Right.
You know what? Screw it. I'm going to say both. I don't think they're going to trade Jamal Adams, and I'm hoping. I wish Sam Darnold all the health in the world after what he went through last year. So, yeah, I'm going to say both.
Yeah, I'm definitely saying both on this. We'll get to the last one. Either, neither, both will win MVP this year. Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, both LA teams. Last year, Trout and Bellinger swept the MVPs for the LA teams.
Just because it happened last year by sweeping it for the LA teams, I'm not going to say both. I'm going to say either and probably go Mookie Betts because I think they have a better chance to win it all.
I'm going to say either. It's a regular season award and go Mike Trout and it's 60 games, and I can see him just coming out of the gate strong and doing Mike Trout things.
If he's playing.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, so that's another reason why I'm going Mookie.
Very, very true. Okay.
So I'm going there for a couple of reasons. One, I'm not sure what Mike Trout's situation is going
to
be. And also, I think the Dodgers are going to be a better team. Coming up next, one team has a much longer road to the NBA title, and we'll explain that next. Golic and Wingo with you on a restart July 1st in terms of team sports, ESPN Radio and ESPN2.